Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show, brought to you by Tractor Supply, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens, and national spokesperson for the USDA Biosecurity for Birds program. Today is Tuesday, July 9th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Tractor Supply. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. Introducing the Chicken Fountain, a new way to water your flock. The Chicken Fountain will change your life and keep your chickens healthier by providing clean, fresh water every time. No more daily cleaning of dirty chicken waterers. This semi-sealed system keeps every drop of water fresh and clean. Proudly made in the USA, the Chicken Fountain will provide your flock with fresh, clean water for years to come. To order your Chicken Fountain, visit chickenfountain.com. That's chickenfountain.com. It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer.
here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We've got an awesome show lined up for you today. Let me tell you, we got Ryan Walker from the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. He's going to be joining us in a little bit, and he's going to be teaching us all about emergency preparedness with our livestock. How cool is that? I don't think we've ever had a show regarding that topic. So always glad to have the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy on. Great people and a great organization, and today, a great topic. Gotta love it. So get those notepads out. I know, Christmas Chick, you happen to be down in Florida, and you're prone to, let's just say, I don't want to jinx you because it is the season, hurricanes. And but really, anywhere around the country, we've got natural disasters that occur and wildfires that are going on right now and all kinds of things. So it's very important to know and to have a disaster plan for your animals as well. If you keep extra food for you in case of an emergency, why wouldn't you keep extra food for your animals as well? Dogs, cats, chickens as well. If you have a lot of livestock, including cattle and goats, then it is important to think about keeping enough food on hand for them too, if something should happen. So great show lined up for today. Really looking forward to it. Again, get those Chicken Whisperer notebooks out and get ready to take tons and tons of notes. Gotta love it. I got a final number in, which I always try to pay attention to the listenership. That's always important to us, and of course, our sponsors, and our numbers are really good, which we all love. And as we continue into our fifth year of broadcasting, and over 800, and I guess today's episode 834 or something like that. But just to give you an idea of the numbers, last Thursday, I'm looking at it right now. This is just BTR listens and archive and live listens to this radio show. So we're still waiting on, you know, iTunes.com, podcast.com, Zoom.com. But right now, looking at the numbers right now from Blog Talk Radio, 22,051. 22,051 archive and live listeners on last Thursday's show with Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. And so just to give you an idea of kind of the listenership we have on a regular basis, I know that Dr. McRae had about, maybe about 15 or 18,000 listening one day when we had a topic about washing a chicken. Maybe that just sparked people's interest about, you know, the title, washing a chicken. So, but I wanted to share that with you since I'm keeping up with that particular episode. Why that episode is so hot, maybe it's just Richard Frudenberger and Back Home Magazine. Gotta love that. but nonetheless, we appreciate you tuning in, whether you tune in live or tune in and listen to the archive. A lot of over-the-road truck drivers listen to the show. We appreciate you. Keep the rubber on the road. The homeschoolers are getting kind of geared up to head back to school here. August will be here before you know it, and all of our homeschoolers will be tuning in every day here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. I want to send a shout-out, of course, to all the feed and seeds across the country that listen to this radio show live, broadcast it live to their customers. We thank you very much and hope that business is booming this summer. We thank you for tuning in and, of course, not to leave out all our regular archive and live listeners that listen to the show. Monday through Thursday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And a lot of folks listen on iTunes, and it is 100% completely free thanks to our great sponsors. And nowhere in the country is there another full-time live radio show broadcast that focuses on mainly keeping backyard poultry, but also living a sustainable lifestyle. There's none out there. I don't even know if there's any that have been broadcasting as long as us, regarding 823 episodes over 5 years of broadcasting. So I got to toot the horn a little bit, and I'm very proud of that. And been some wonderful episodes, very educational episodes, where people come and get information from the experts, not just a blog from a novice with no backing of scientific information on what they share at all. And of course, yesterday with Peter Brown, the chicken doctor, he emphasized that on a couple of different occasions when he was giving us good, true scientific information. So thank you very much for tuning in. You're a one-stop shop for accurate information here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. So thank you very much for joining us today. Let's see what we've got going on later in the week. Of course, we know today we have ALBC on this Thursday. We've got Richard Frudenberger. Wow, that was a sneaky yawn. Came out of anywhere. Let's see. We've got this Thursday, Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, this Thursday. Hey, let me tell you about this topic we got this Thursday. It is awesome. You're not going to want to miss the show. Let me pull it up here. Ah, yes. The topic this Thursday with Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, is household water filters. Household water filters. And I'm sure, as always, with Richard being on, he will tell us some ways to make our own household water filter. Gotta love it. So that'll be really interesting. In that topic this coming Thursday. And tomorrow I am hoping to have either Prepper Penny on or possibly Tracy, Lotus lady, who I'm trying to think of her actual Facebook page, and talk about the essential oils. Lotus Essential Oils maybe is her company name. So, but nonetheless, one of those will be joining us tomorrow, again, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here. Purple Lotus, there it is. Thank you very much, Christmas Chick, right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. So we got a great week lined up for you this week. Let's see what we have maybe next week to give you a heads up regarding that. On the 15th, of course, Monday, Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown. That next Wednesday, Garden Wise Living with Arlena on the 17th. Thursday the 18th, poultry scientist and professor Dr. Bridget McRae, Ph.D. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. So we hope you can tune in on a regular basis. Hope you're all doing well. Apparently there's a heat wave heading out towards the middle of the country. And we have, I know East Dallas Dave, that's a longtime regular listener. He's out in that area. I was looking at the news online the other day, and yesterday, matter of fact. Temperatures, 95 to 100 degrees, massive heat wave out in that area. But 'tis the summer. 'Tis the season. So, but regardless of where you're at today, we want to make sure you keep cool and keep your chickens cool. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, we had an awesome topic from Peter Brown, the chicken doctor, about how to keep your flock cool in the summer, also dealing with heat-related diseases. So if you happen to miss that, go check the archive. It was a couple of Mondays ago when we had Peter Brown, the chicken doctor, on talking about heat-related emergencies and how to keep your chickens cool in the summertime. We know the first point there is to have some shade. That's probably the most important thing you can do right there, is have some shade for your chickens to take refuge when they're taking their dirt baths out in the run. Get that shade going. Very, very important. If you don't have a lot of shade, you can go and buy some shade cloth to provide some shade for your chickens. Very, very important. And, of course, equally, if not more important than that, is fresh, clean, cool water. Now, I know sometimes it's hard to keep cool water, but like Dr. Peter Brown said, the issue there is that they probably will not drink any water. If they do, not very much hot water, especially once it gets to their body temperature. So keeping cool water can be a challenge. Just throwing a few ice cubes in that 3 to 5 gallon water is not going to hack it. That's going to melt very, very soon. It's not going to have any staying power. That's a song, right? Stay in power. So you need to basically find another way to keep that water cool, keeping it in the shade, out of the sun. One trick that I like that works well is to freeze 20-ounce bottles of water, freeze it solid as a rock, and then drop that whole bottle
the 20-ounce plastic water bottles, freeze those solid as a rock, drop them into your 3, 5, or 7-gallon waterer. A couple of those in there will keep that water cool for a pretty good long period of time. So you got to love it. Great tip, easy tip to do. It's not going to cost you anything. And dropping a couple of those in the water before you go to work in the shade will keep them a nice, cool supply of water for a little while. And then you can drop a couple of more in at lunch if you come home, or, of course, in the afternoon when you get there. And that's going to be so good for your chickens. Very, very important, keeping your chickens cool. Like we always say here, the heat is far more detrimental to your chickens than the cold ever will be. Okay, some folks may laugh at you if you put a heater in the coop, but I don't know if anybody will laugh at you if you put an air conditioner in your coop, because, hey, we know that the issue there is heat, again, is far more detrimental to your chickens than they ever will be. Just one second. Okay, so Kayla was messing around with the air conditioner a little bit earlier, and so we're going to try to fix that here and get it going again, because we're getting some nice warm temperatures here in South Georgia as well, just like the rest. Dia saying, I also feed my girls some frozen peas later in the day, along with some ice-cold grapes. Very interesting and very good. Yep, frozen peas, I've heard that on occasion, keeping the chickens cool. Nice, cool watermelon, because that's got a lot of fluids in it as well, and cantaloupe, and man, I'm telling you, if you've never given your chickens any type of melon, you are missing out. Of course, we want to limit our treats for our chickens, of course, but watermelon is a great, cool source, and it's also a nice fluid source for our chickens. But if you notice, when we get done eating the watermelon and there's that white, tough rind at the bottom before you get to that skin, just throw a piece of watermelon into the end of the pen and let your chickens start going at it. Even if you've already eaten the good meat part and just want to give them that rind, they will devour that. It's amazing. In fact, you'll be able to go in a couple of days later, and literally the only thing will be left is just a paper thin. Literally, you can flap it in the wind, hard to believe, a paper thin skin of that watermelon is all that will be left. It's really amazing how they go to town on that watermelon. It's an amazing thing to see. So, yes, please stay cool yourself, and make sure you take care of your animals too. You've got an obligation. They don't have anybody to take care of them. That is your obligation. When you got those animals, it was your call, your decision to take care of them. And speaking of that, taking care of them, what are you going to do if a disaster strikes, whether it be a flood, hurricane, wildfire, whatever the case may be? You need to have a kind of a plan, whether it's an evacuation plan or a plan for an extended food source or water source for your animals too, because they're depending on you. They can't just run down to the store and get what they need. They are depending on you. Whether it's a hot day or a natural disaster like a hurricane, having an evacuation plan, what to do with your chickens and your livestock, your cows and your horses. I remember probably about 10 years ago, when a tornado went through North Georgia, right up through the towns of Cleveland and Helen, Georgia, there was a field full of about 2 dozen cows, and still to this day, not a single one has been found, or the remains of one have been found due to that tornado. So very, very interesting regarding kind of prepping for any type of natural disaster, both for transporting them, getting them out of Dodge into a safe place, or if you're just going to hunker down, then, again, having maybe an extended feed source for them and water source for them as these disasters occur. And that's what our topic is today with Ryan Walker with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. So let's go ahead over here to the phone lines and bring Ryan on right now. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So good. Our prayers are going out to Jeanette. I know she's having, I think she in her email said minor surgery, but we know the minor should never go in front of the word surgery.
Right.
And easy for her to say, but you know, like I said, you know, it's kind of like when you hear, oh yeah, I'm going in, or he's going in for some minor surgery. Hey, it's only minor because they're not cutting you open. Yeah, if they were cutting you open, I don't think it'd be so minor. But
right,
so our prayers,
right,
prayers and thoughts are going out with her, and we miss her. But we're glad to have you on, my friend. And what a great topic! I was thinking back over the last 800 and some odd episodes in 5 years. I don't know if we've ever had actually this topic on. So it's perfect timing with, you know, the wildfires and it's hurricane season and the drought and the heat. So we're definitely ready to take some notes on what you have to share with us.
Very good, very good. Well, yeah, you touched on several things already that are great information. But you know, one of the things that I guess first I'll talk about mm-hmm. disasters, and then we'll get into the succession planning.
Okay.
But as far as disasters go, you know, one of the most important things that people can do is to have a disaster plan. And for some people that might mean kind of having it in the back of your head, but I really suggest that people write the plan down. The reason being is when you write things down, for one, you're more likely to remember, and two, you know, if you write it down, it's easy to share with others because, you know, you might have a great idea of all of these plans and exactly what you're going to do if something was to happen. But if something happens to you, if you're out of town, if you're not able to, you know, be there for whatever reason, if you're injured or something like that happens, you know, maybe your family or your friends or even, you know, maybe the local police or fire department, you know, they might have to actually step in and help with the animals. So having a written plan and basically a place for reference is a great thing to have, not only for, you know, your animals, just in general to have a personal plan too is definitely a good thing. But you know, have the steps, have written down what steps need to be taken. You know, animals, just like humans, have to eat daily, and they have to have water daily. You know, so literally within hours of a disaster happening, they, you know, something is going to have to be in place for them to somehow eat or get water or get moved or you know, whatever the case is. You know, different types of disasters. Generally, we think of the disasters that come on all at once, you know, like a tornado or I guess there's a little more lead time on a hurricane, you know, floods, wildfires, things like that are pretty quick. But also disasters, you know, like a drought, something that's a little more prolonged and stretched out. But still, you know, if you know, right now we're kind of in the midsummer time. If you're in an area that's going through a drought and you know by the end of the summer that there's not going to be any hay left or if feed prices are going to go high, you know, start thinking months or even years in advance of things that you're going to steps you'll take to make sure that your animals have enough food and water and you know, maybe you're in a place that they're doing water rationing, you know, and you've got a lot of livestock. That's something to take into, you know, consideration.
I know that we were talking about, and by the way, in the chat room, they remembered you. They said, "Hey, it's the Hay Man."
Yeah. Yep. And as you can see, I've already mentioned hay, so.
Absolutely, and I have a point about that too. But yeah, and I said, no, he's the Hay Whisperer.
the hay Whisperer.
The Hay Whisperer. So, yep. Yeah, like with hay, like, and this, we do this now, even not planning for disaster. Like, we'll be at a big box store or something like that, and you know, even on, you know, based on your budget, you know, it's like, well, next month we've got this going on, these events, or this travel, or this, you know, oh, all of our life insurance comes due next month, or our homeowner's insurance, or, oh, you know what, November mm-hmm. our taxes are due. So, you know, while we've got it now, let's go ahead and buy two or three more bags of feed. Let's go ahead and buy two or three more boxes of diapers while we're here, while we're thinking about it, and because
right.
next month may be light on funds. So, yeah, I guess, like you're talking about, you reminded me talking about hay and how hay can last a very long time. Hey, you know, we can store this up now because next month we've got all these events or these shows or these rodeo or whatever we got, or, hey, summer's coming up, we may have drought. While we've got it, while we've got the cash flow, let's go ahead and buy some extra. And we do that even with, like I said, something as simple as diapers when we're buying in bulk, because we look ahead and we're thinking, okay, what do we've got going on? Is next month a light month for us because we've got all these extra bills that seem to come in quarterly or biannually? So we do that as much as we can with just about anything we've got.
Right, right. And another good thing that came to mind is, and I know it may not be feasible for everyone, but it's not a bad idea to keep some feed, like some hay or some feed, in a different location than you usually keep your feed in. The reason for that, mainly if something like a fire was to happen and say your shed or your barn burned down, if the feed goes with it, if you've got a backup in another place, that's a great way to quickly be able to solve your problem rather than, you know, having to run to the store or you know, if it's on a weekend and the stores are closed, something like that. That's another good thing to keep in mind. Also, things like, for electricity, in this area, in the Carolinas where we're at, when a hurricane comes through, it can knock out electricity for days, sometimes even weeks. And, so it's a good idea to have some type of backup plan if you have animals that are dependent on some type of electricity. Now, a lot of animals can get by okay without it. You know, they don't necessarily need lights. They don't necessarily need a heat lamp, you know, or something like that in the winter. But, you've got, say you've got chicks in the incubator. You know, what are you going to do if you lose electricity? We actually had that happen in the ALBC office. We've been hatching some chicks out for a conservation recovery program, and a bad storm came through, knocked down a bunch of trees about a month ago, and we lost power for about 8 hours, and our incubator turned off, and there, unfortunately, we didn't even have a backup.
Right.
So we had some hatching issues because of that. So that kind of thing, you know, is something to take into consideration. A lot of times if you're on a well, if you lose power, you know,
lose that water,
Yeah, you're going to lose water too. So, generator is not a bad idea if you can afford it. If you've got enough animals and a way to justify it. Also a place for the animals to stay. If you've got cattle out on pasture, you know, unless there's a wildfire, it may not be much of an issue. Or as much of an issue, but if you've got animals that are in a barn, or if they're in a chicken coop, or if they're in a some type of a shed or structure that gets destroyed, whether it's by fire or tornado or flood, where are they going to stay? Are they going to
right.
Will you be able to put things back together quickly? You know, you may or may not be. Do your neighbors have facilities that you might be able to temporarily house them there? Are there, if you've got larger animals like horses, are there boarding facilities in your area? Or even places like friends and family, you know, even if it's a little bit further away, say you've got large animals and you need to transport them to your brother's place, you know, 2 hours away, make sure one of you has a trailer or that you can find a trailer to get them there. So things like that, you know, it's a good idea to be prepared in that way.
And waiting to the last minute with everybody panicking, you know, you might think, oh, okay, well, John doesn't have a problem with BR in his trailer if something should happen. Well, you know, if something should happen, John's using his trailer. Or, you know, maybe there's a whole long line list of John using John's trailer and things. I have never seen, it's you know, the armchair quarterback. You know, you look at these massive fires out west on television. Well, not on television, but online, and you see this news footage of it, and you're thinking, okay, it's a big fire, and you see people, you know, the water hose trying to protect their homes and things. But so it's just got to be just mammoth and just awe breathtaking to see something that huge, you know, just because you hear things like about the horror of the 19 firefighters getting killed with this fire, and you're thinking, you know, and most people's their only experience is maybe burning a brush pile in their backyard burning a trash pit or something like that. So they just don't have the concept. I've never seen it either, but so I don't have the concept, but I'm just from looking at it, I know that's got to be an awe and jaw dropping experience to see that. It's not okay, well, we'll just run from it, you know, because they're used to just holding a water hose over a little, you know, a little brush fire in their backyard versus, how does this, you know, they just don't have that concept of how amazing those, how fast they, I mean, you and I hear it on the news where those fires are moving, you know, on 50 miles an hour, the fire itself.
Right.
It's just, I just can't, it's just crazy when you're just holding a hose over your your campfire,
yeah,
or your
not gonna help.
Yeah, no, not exactly. So, you know, a lot of the time is an issue, panic sets in, and you know, so yeah, another thing about writing it down, and that goes for other things as well. I've told this to my mom and my dad and all of the folks in my family that are on, and I got, you know, back when I was a paramedic, I tried to share as much as I could, kind of unrelated, but to the specific kind of livestock topic. But if you're on any type of medications as well, folks, not just for disasters, but you need to have a complete list of those, an updated list with the name, the generic name, whatever the name is, the dose, the whole nine yards. And because if you're unconscious, you're not telling anybody what your drugs are. And it can be very important for both the first responders, the paramedics to know, and especially when you get back to the hospital. And it could mean the difference in life and death. So just a tip. I haven't shared this tip because I've been out of that field for a while. But there's an item called a vial of life. And most folks either use an old mayonnaise jar or just a really big pill jar or just whatever. What they'll do, there are some official ones you can get online for free as well. It includes a sticker that you can put on your front door or on the window next to your door that says vial of life and inside or what have you. And then normally you keep it in your refrigerator. Why in your refrigerator? Well, someone was kind of smart. Most everybody has a refrigerator in their house. So if they see that sticker, the first responders say vial of life, then they know to go to your refrigerator. There may be a magnet on the refrigerator, you know, vial of life enclosed, and you open it up and you just keep it in the door, one of the door pockets or door shelves of your refrigerator, and we can pull that out, and voila, I've got all your medications that you're on, whether you're conscious or not, updated with dose, the whole nine yards. And so just, again, not related to livestock, but also being prepared or just any regular life emergency for you folks, called vial. And you don't have to order that special one. You can just, you know, keep it in a mayonnaise jar or a mustard jar. All your updated information, who your doctors are, the contact information to your doctors, your meds, your allergies, things like that. And then all your loved one has to do, if something should happen, is pull it right out of there and hand it to the medics. It's that simple. Versus, you know, how many times have I said, what medications is she on? You know, you're already panicked, you're already stressed, here's your loved one unconscious on the floor. I'm not sure. I know she's on a heart medicine. Okay. So just not really related to livestock, but just since I share that tip so many times in the past with my previous career, wanted to share that with everybody too. It can be a lifesaver. So, being prepared for your thing. So people are talking about in the chat room that someone talked about, you know, wanting to get a solar panel on the top of their chicken house for different mm-hmm. reasons, and for me, and maybe for the vent fan to have on to cut on and off through the solar power, so they don't have to have power there. So, and maybe some lighting in the wintertime, just small wattage light to keep them egg laying throughout the winter, things like that. So a solar panel probably would have enough oomph to be able to do both a little vent fan and that small lighting that you would have throughout the wintertime, and you're using the solar power. So I'll let you continue.
Yeah, well, those are great. Solar, you know, solar is a great solution. You know, sometimes you can even go completely solar and not have to rely on traditional electricity. So if you're able, that's wonderful. It's a good investment, you know, especially for long term. You know, something else that comes to mind, we were talking about transporting animals, you know, having to actually move them or find a temporary place for them. You know, say you've got maybe some backyard chickens, and so you're not going to really need a livestock trailer for them, but you're going to have to find a place for them. You know, a lot of hotels will accept animals, but their definition of animals may not necessarily mean chickens or a goat. So, you know, make sure that within 24 hours or you know, even sooner that you'll be able to get a place for them to stay. And again, back to the writing things down, you know, for the animals, you know, on top of you writing personal things down for yourself and for your family, write down information for your animals. You know, write down their vet information, write down what type of feeds they're on, because switching feeds on an animal, if someone doesn't know, that kind of thing, you know, can put the animal in danger, you know, and or at least make it sick. you know, feeding schedules, you know, how often you feed, how much you feed, things like that that someone, you know, may or may not know. If you do have immediate family, like a spouse or children or neighbors, you know, you might want to let them know, you know, just kind of fill them in on what your general schedule is. Good training is if you have somebody come and feed your animals for you if you're going out of town or something like that. They'll often walk you through the process and show you how everything, you know, works. But it's good to do that from time to time, even if you never leave, you know, bring someone over and just show them how you do it, so that they'll know and so that other people will know, because everybody does things a little bit different, you know, and your animals are adapted to the way you've been caring for them. So some things to keep in mind. We actually had one of our members out in Kansas last week had a huge storm come through, and he's actually one of our largest turkey, heritage turkey producers, and his barn was destroyed, and it was a freak storm, one of those out on the Kansas plains, you know, they just pop up, and within minutes, you know, it goes from being partly cloudy to a massive thunderstorm, high winds and all kinds of debris and everything flying around.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even have time to get his birds inside. So he had hundreds of chickens and turkeys that were outside. This storm comes up all of a sudden, and I guess this is kind of a plug for heritage breeds, but he raises heritage breeds of livestock, and his birds were smart enough, they had those natural instincts to mm-hmm. get themselves into the barn and into shelter. He's pretty convinced that the reason why they survived is because they were smart enough, they had that natural instinct to avoid the storm and save themselves. But out of all of this, the storm, his barn got completely destroyed, the roof came off, the walls fell down, and he was actually inside the barn with them. Because he himself got caught out. He was far enough away from his house, and he was trying to you know, get everything prepared and locked down, and he rode out the storm in the barn, but you know, he actually only lost one chicken out of all of his birds. So he was pretty thankful for that, but that's, you know, that's just a, and that was just a storm. That wasn't even a tornado. It was just straight line winds that ripped everything apart, and you never know when something like that could happen. So it's a good idea to be prepared. And he actually had a disaster plan written out and everything. He just didn't have time to
sure.
implement it. But yeah. So that I think that pretty well covers some pretty good disaster information. I guess moving along to succession planning.
Okay, sure.
I hope I didn't scare anyone away with mentioning succession planning, because it's not something that people really like to talk about, you know, or a lot of people don't, but it's something that's very important, and especially if people are raising some of the heritage breeds, like the rare breeds that ALBC works to save. Some of these breeds are extremely rare, you know, just hundreds left, or you know, some of the bloodlines are even rarer than the entire breed. So if something is to happen to them, you know, we look at the people raising them as stewards. You know, they're taking on the responsibility of ensuring not only to give the animal a good life when it's bright and sunny outside, but making sure that the animal survives regardless of what happens to that caretaker. So succession planning is a very important part of owning a heritage breed. You know, we've got a lot of older farmers and backyarders who have these animals, and they're raising them. But having plans in place, you know, even including plans for your animals in your will, is a very important step. Some things that, you know, some people don't think about. You know, you might include, it's obvious that you would include finances or you know, your house or, you know, vehicles, that kind of stuff. But animals, you know, they need a place to go to. So having it, again, written down if something was to happen to you is crucial for a lot of these animals. Also, things to keep in mind, like, you know, if it's a family and one spouse passes, is there going to be enough income to support the animals once that spouse is gone? You know, if maybe there might be life insurance, you know, and that will last for a while. But long term, is that still going to be feasible to keep as many or all of the animals or any of the animals? Because it's better to find good homes for the animals than to just keep them and not be able to feed them as well as you should. So that's definitely something to consider. We actually, when I was growing up, we had a family friend. It was a couple, husband and wife, in their 40s, and the husband was really into showing. They had horses. He was really into showing. They had a nice herd of horses, and the wife helped out with them and knew, you know, some of the basic feeding and caring stuff. But he ended up having a heart attack in his late 40s, passing, and she was left with the entire horse herd and basically all the care. Unfortunately, she didn't know much about how to actually care for them. Luckily, myself and my mom actually helped out feeding them while they were out of town and that kind of stuff, so she was able to kind of step in and help out with them to figure out what to do with the horses. But you know, things like that, you know, nobody expects to have a heart attack, you know, that young. So you never know when things like that could happen, and it's good to have a plan in place. But
and I really, you know, like I said, at the in my will, at, you know, the couple of dogs and a few chickens that could probably be very easily and quickly placed somewhere if something should happen to me. I mean, Jen's fully capable, but, you know, you just never know. And horses and cattle, totally different story than having just a few chickens and a couple of dogs. So,
right.
Especially, you know, you've got, you're dealing with the stress, plus, you may already, you know, have the children you got to deal with, and if you don't, it's like, okay, that was his hobby, not mine, and, you know, some people just may not have an interest. I talk to folks all the time that's, you know, my husband has no interest in the chickens, and I have no interest in woodwork, so they wouldn't know what to do or how to care about them.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So, you know, like I said, if that is the case, if your spouse or if your family doesn't, you know, if you feel that they probably won't keep on, you know, keep the animals, make sure that you've got someone in place to take over, who can step in and you know, make sure that they also know things like, at least for short term, you know, where to buy feed, you know, where is the feed store, or where do you get this certain feed, that you feed, or who is the vet, you know, things like that. Another thing to keep in mind, especially for people with chickens, is if you have any customers, even if you don't have a business per se, you know, if you occasionally sell eggs to some people or if you, you know, occasionally sell some birds to people, if they're kind of your regulars, if something happens, you know, make sure that there's some type of communication. You know, make sure people will be prepared to inform those people who might come asking for eggs. You know, let them know, you know, what's happened. Just have them be prepared to tell those people what's happened. And, you know, they might carry on and keep selling eggs and, you know, doing whatever they're doing. But just, you know, something to think about. You know, and another thing too, you know, with not just chickens, but, you know, with, especially with like registered livestock, like, you know, your larger animals, if they're registered animals, the registrar of the association is going to want to know too, If they're passing into another name, have the vet phone numbers handy, update your contact information or so that your contact information can be updated. We're ALBC is a membership organization, so if you're a membership, if you're a member of ALBC, we also get notices from time to time of people passing and updating their information and letting us know where their animals are going. If some people, give all of their animals to another person or their family sells them to another person, we see this very often. Like I said, with our members who pass, and then occasionally, sometimes people don't have a plan in place, unfortunately, and they reach out to us. And one of the things that we do is we help find homes for the animals whenever some type of event happens.
That was a question in the chat room. Does ALBC have a program to rehome animals that are willed to y'all?
Right. We don't usually get animals willed to us. Mm-hmm. Usually what happens is animals are willed to a family member, and then the family member contacts us, and then basically we go through, we've got thousands of members across the country, and we're kind of the go-to place for rare breeds of livestock. So usually what we'll do is we'll try to locate people somewhat close in the former member's area, and then work with the family to help place those animals, whether it's they just want to get rid of them and they want to give them away, or if they want to try to sell them. That's something we actually do. I guess it's something that we don't really publicize a lot, but it is something we do very, very often, probably at least monthly. We're working with some type of a transition process with some people that, some animals that need to find homes.
Okay.
Not just necessarily in succession planning, but, occasionally we'll have people who have other circumstances like financial issues, somebody loses their job or people going through divorce or things like that sometimes those issues come up too, and we also help in that situation.
Yeah, you talked about that, couples going through divorce, and unfortunately the first thing that went through my mind was the stories you see where, it's a bad divorce and one of the two divorcees ends up, let's just say it, kills the animals in revenge or something like that, which, come on.
Yeah.
But, you hear that every now and then, the
right.
Stories about that. So hopefully that's very, very few and far between. Hey, we got to go to commercial break, Ryan, but we will return and we can wrap this great topic up here when we get back. We're talking with Ryan Walker with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, one of the first topics, if not the only first topic we've ever had this topic on the show in 5 years of broadcasting, 824 episodes. And kind of how to prepare for that disaster with your livestock, regardless of what natural disaster or a man-made disaster or a death in the family, and kind of what to do with those animals. And maybe, again, like we just talked about, the wife really has no interest in them, and how to care for them, buy food, or find a route to get rid of the animals in a safe, humane manner, to donate them to another breeder, really the whole nine yards. So a lot of things that hopefully you're now thinking about that you weren't thinking about before. Just very, very important stuff. So we'll return right after this short break from our sponsors with more with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, hens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
A job for
Super Chicken?
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
All right, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Again, Ryan Walker is our guest from the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, and we're talking about, really, disaster preparedness for your livestock. If you just tuning in or you missed a portion of the show, no worries. About 15 minutes after we leave the air, the show will be archived for your listening pleasure on iTunes.com, Podcast.com, Zoom.com, and right here on Blog Talk Radio. .com. So, Ryan, thank you very much for joining us. Welcome back. And we can continue on and do a wrap-up here in a few minutes regarding the topic.
Sure. Very good. Well, I think we've talked about some good things, so far. Plans on what to do if something was to happen, whether it be a disaster or succession planning, things to consider for the animals. I want everyone to just, keep in mind, I know it's a serious topic, but it doesn't have to be, you don't necessarily have to be afraid to approach someone if you're, needing to discuss this with your family or your friends. It's never a bad time to talk to them about it. If it's something You know, maybe you sit down over dinner and talk to them about it, or maybe you are on a long trip and it's just something to talk about. But talking about it is the first step. And once you get the conversation started, it's, you know, you don't have to harp on the kind of bad side of things, but just talking about steps that need to happen, that kind of stuff, it's like I said, it's very important, you know, and not everyone's favorite conversation, but something that's very important that many people unfortunately don't take the time to do. So regardless of your age or your health or location, you know, if it's a disaster, not a bad idea to get something like this in place.
Yeah, I completely agree, because just waiting to the last, well, with anything, waiting to the last minute, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to be panicked, you're going to be stressed, and, you know, you might forget something that could be very crucial, you or your animals in the time of a disaster, regardless of what it might be, like we even talked about, even a family member that passes away unexpectedly. So, very, very interesting and information. Anything else you'd like to share with us before we have you tell us about ALBC in brief, and tell us how people can join? Anything else regarding the topic today?
Well, something that does come to mind that's sort of related to the topic, and kind of, I guess, a transition to more information about ALBC. We are, if people are not aware, we are a charitable organization. So, if, you know, included in succession planning, if you're looking for places for your animals or things to steps to take, if you're looking for charities to donate to, you know, maybe to leave a bequest to, or anything from stock gifts, life insurance, beneficiaries, retirement accounts. Some people do memorial gifts. We're definitely open, and you know, you have those tax benefits as well for donations to the Conservancy. So something to just to keep in mind that is something that really helps us out, because the majority, we're not, regardless of what sometimes people may think, we're not affiliated with the USDA. We're not part of the government. We're a standalone nonprofit organization. We've been around for 36 years now, and the majority of our support comes from our members and from our generous donors, and some corporate sponsorships from businesses like Tractor Supply or some foundations. So we do very much appreciate that, but that's what keeps us going. And without support from our members and from our supporters, we would not be around. So I just wanted to touch on the possibility of adding ALBC into your will too, and we've got more information on our website if anyone is interested in that.
Yeah, perfect. And like I said, membership, I believe, is $35, and it doesn't matter if you're, again, soccer mom in suburbia with six pet chickens in your backyard, or a 100-acre homestead, a 5-acre homestead, or maybe you have no livestock at all, but you believe in what that they are doing, then again, the $35 membership goes a long way, and believe me, the things you get in the mail is well worth it. The information, the breeding catalog, you know, once a year. It's absolutely awesome and well worth it. And it's ALBC-USA.org, folks, where you can get lots more information. And then there's a lot of free information on the site as well, trying to find breeders for a particular breed you're looking for, whether it be house, horse, or hog, or chicken, or goat, or whatever the case may be, not just poultry. And so lots of information there. So we hope you'll visit and consider joining the ALBC, because they do great works and they're great folks up there. So, hey, tell us about the upcoming annual conference. I guess it's going to be at the same place as far as town anyway, up there outside of Raleigh.
It is. Yeah, it's the conference is November 8th and 9th. So add it to your calendars. we haven't quite released all of the programs and workshops and everything yet, but I can give you a little bit of kind of a heads up. It's the theme this year is sowing the seeds of conservation. And what we're doing is partnering with the Seed Savers Exchange out of Iowa, national seed saving organization. They've actually got the largest collection of heirloom seeds, I believe, anywhere, if not at least in the country. And so they're going to be coming in, and we're going to do kind of a collaboration conference on heirloom seeds and heritage breeds. So we always, you know, of course, it's our conference, and we're going to have information on heritage breeds, but kind of showing sort of the how the two work together. They're both very similar in idea. You know, they're the older varieties or older breeds that, for various reasons, because of modern agricultural practices, aren't being used as much these days, have kind of either lost favor or declined in the amount of people using them. So we, the two of our organizations, are kind of the safe keepers. You know, we're the ones who look after these breeds and varieties and make sure that they don't go extinct. Because, you know, that preserves biodiversity, and I think most of our listeners know that biodiversity is a good thing, especially in agriculture, and we're seeing it become more and more important with the current trends and the way things are going. But definitely will be a great conference. We usually open up things the first day with a nice dinner, kind of a networking event for people to get to know each other. And you don't have to have animals to come to the conference. In fact, a lot of people don't have animals who just want to kind of learn more about it. You know, maybe you're just interested in conservation. Maybe you're just interested in gardening. Maybe you're interested in, you know, the scientific or the historical part of things. It's really a good mix of a lot of different types of people, and it's always very interesting. The second day is usually followed by a day full of workshops. First thing in the morning until late afternoon, we've got, I think last year we had over 20 workshops that were available on anything from breeding practices to breed association management to marketing to all kinds of stuff, and those types of topics we'll definitely have again too. Got some great speakers lined up, and of course it's in North Carolina, which is right down the road from our headquarters. So, you know, definitely the ALBC staff will be here. There are great things to do in the area too. Our area, kind of in the Research Triangle part of North Carolina, is mm-hmm. home to one of the largest collections of small farms and heritage breeds in the country. So, you know, definitely side trips and things. If you're wanting other stuff to do, we can definitely let you know about stuff. We've got major research universities, Duke, UNC, NC State, great museums. And, of course, there are always the mountains and the beach on both sides of us. So great destination, and we're really looking forward to the conference. And it should be hopefully our best one yet.
Looking forward to it. I also have some a tip for folks that are interested in going. Do not wait to the last minute to take advantage of the block of rooms that I'm sure the ALBC will have for you regarding the discount. Even though I was last year a guest speaker and attended the annual conference, had an awesome time, great speakers, met a ton of awesome people. I waited to the last minute to do that. It was before we had the Chicken Whisperer mobile camper, and so I called up. Y'all had it was the Hyatt or the Hilton or something like that. Just this really swank place, man. It's awesome. And then so I call up, and because I'm thinking, oh yeah, I'm coming up to throw out all the titles. Oh, it's guest speaker or the special guest. Oh well, I don't care. It sucks for you. You don't get the 80. Yeah, you don't get the $89 rate that they negotiated with us. You have to pay. I mean, it was like $189. I mean, it was insane. I was like, no, I don't think. So we did stay. It was still very, very close because everything there is such great, like you said, very convenient to get to. So we stayed just one exit away and back to a an amount that we felt feasible for our budget. But yeah, so just tip from coming from the horse's mouth, if you will, that if you're wanting to go, take advantage of whatever awesome rate they get you, even if it means booking 3 months in advance. Because I don't care who you are, what you do, or what you how you have, doesn't matter how you sweet talk them. Yeah, once they're sold, they are sold. So, and it could be right. The difference between $100 a night, which, you know, for, you know, two nights anyways, you know, $200 savings just by booking before the deadline. So that was
and
a learning.
It's the embassy suites.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
embassy suites in Cary, and there is more information and a link up on our website to register early. The hotel block will be held until October 6th. If there are still spaces available, and often
right.
That's not the case. So definitely, you know, take advantage of that great rate. And, you know, we need to make sure that we get the rooms filled too, which we usually never have a problem with. But, you know, there's no reason not to take advantage of it and get that good rate if you are able to.
Absolutely, because I procrastinated and it kind of bit me in the rear. Because anyway, so just tip of the trade. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us today, the second Tuesday of the month, when folks can tune in and hear what's going on with the American Livestock Breeders Conservancy. Again, that's ALBC-USA.org. Ryan, thank you very much for joining us today, and we'll see you next month. And
my
give
pleasure.
All of our give all of our well wishes, thoughts, and prayers, and speedy recovery. Vibes to Jeanette next time you talk with her.
Definitely will.
All right, thank you. You too. Take care. Bye bye. All right, another great episode. Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. Ryan Walker, also known here on the radio show as the Hay Whisperer. Boy, I'm telling you, go back and listen to that show last time. One of the last times he was here. If you think you know anything about hay, you're mistaken. I had no idea, and he's never going to live this down on the radio show, because that was just a fascinating, jaw-dropping show, especially for someone like me, a hay novice. That you know, I go down the road, and is that hay? Is that wheat straw? Is it you know, the round bales, square bales? That's it on my end. But man, it was a great topic. So he's and a lot of our listeners thoroughly enjoyed it and got so much out of that, because that's apparently one of his expertise, where they actually have hay shows for hay contests. So how awesome is that? But I challenge you to go back and find that episode. It would be on the second Tuesday of the month. I think it's been in the last 12 months, so you only have to look at, you know, go back 12 Tuesdays, second Tuesdays, and listen to that show about hay with Ryan. It was absolutely fascinating. So we thank him for taking the time to come on today, and that's going to wrap up another episode. We hope you'll tune in tomorrow and a Thursday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. I know that we've got on Thursday Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, coming on talking about home water filters, home water filtration systems. And I'm sure, as always, Richard's going to share us how to maybe make our own home water filters and home water filtration systems. So that's going to be a great topic on Thursday. I'm hoping tomorrow will either be Purple Lotus talking about essential oils or possibly Prepper Penny. So stay tuned on our Facebook page while we give you updates about tomorrow's show. Alrighty, folks, thanks for staying with us today, and we'll see you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. God bless everybody. Ha ha.